Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Right now, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we have been in a vicious debate. Callers have been getting in. Tweeters have been getting in. Tweeters have been going back at each other about Lindor or Shane Bieber. So I'm going to bring Matt Underwood into it. Matt Underwood, STO, Indians play-by-play man. He joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Matt, first off, thanks for joining us this morning, my friend.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I got to put you on the spot. I don't want to, but I got to. Here we go.
You don't seem real broken up about it.
Well, you know, I mean, we'll see how it goes. It's a hypothetical question. They are in different spots of their careers and different spots of their lives. You got a 10-year contract. Who would you rather sign to a 10-year contract, Francisco Lindor or Shane Bieber?
Okay, I would look at that more of a from the business pragmatic standpoint, and I think position players probably have a longer shelf life than pitchers, so I probably, if I was going to go 10 years, I would probably go with the position player.
Okay. A lot of people, by the way, 63% agree with you, but the Bieber people are very defensive. He was fantastic last night. He's been fantastic to start this season. He's really been really good since the All-Star break last year, and he was an All-Star, so he was good all last year too, Matt. What has happened with the Indians scouting department, where I can't expect this out of these guys, but they have just found good pitcher after good pitcher after good pitcher. What's their secret?
Yeah, and that really is the story. I'm glad you brought that up, Anthony, because that is the story behind this organization's success, because they've been able to sustain this now. I mean, ever since Tito got here, people want to just give it all the credit to Tito, and hey, he deserves a lot of that credit, but it's the scouting department and the player development part of it, because you can't have one without the other. You can go out and find good young talent, but you have to develop them, because I'm sure if you went back and talked to scouts when they saw Shane Bieber originally, they didn't see this. When they saw Aaron Savale, they didn't see this kind of early success or some of the other players that the Indians have developed. So those guys get a lot of that credit too, but you know, when you look at the 2016 draft, I mean, we all will always remember that's the year they went to the World Series. It was a phenomenal season. It was a great run. But that was also the year they drafted Bieber, Plesac, and Savali, all in the same draft. And all those guys are now in the starting rotation. So that's really impressive to, A, go out and find that talent that you can see how they potentially could develop, but then get them in your organization and work with what you have. And they're all three different pitchers. I mean, Bieber and Plesac are somewhat similar in that, you know, they rely on fastball command and good secondary stuff. I mean, Plesac the other night, fastball, and then his slider was electric. And at the time, Rick and I were both commenting, it was the best start of the year. And that was after Bieber had punched out 14 in the opener, but that was against a Kansas City lineup that, let's face it, you know, a little bit below par. The White Sox, they've got some guys that can swing it, and they scare you. So Plesac's performance was a little better. And then Bieber goes out last night and blows away a Twins lineup that set the franchise record in home runs a year ago and punches out 13. So it's fun to watch how these guys all want to outdo the next guy. And so you can't wait to get to the park to see what the next guy's going to do in that rotation.
Matt Underwood, join us on the hotline. We got 67 strikeouts in 47 innings, and obviously you've referenced the two Bieber performances. Where does this stuff rank? I mean, you were calling the game when Corey Kluber threw 18 strikeouts against the Cards in 2015. I mean, we've been treated to some unreal moments, but this is incredible to start out the season.
Yeah, right. I actually was thinking about that last night, watching Bieber blow him away. I was thinking, okay, I remember when Corey Kluber did this against the Cardinals when he just mowed them down. And what it got me thinking is, where is he at in terms of development? Now, we all know Kluber was a bit of a late bloomer. So I went back and looked, and Corey was 28 when he won his first Cy Young Award. Bieber's 25, and now he's on the path, and two starts doesn't, mean anything over the course of a whole year. But it goes to show you that in terms of where he's developing and at the rate he's developing, he's ahead of where Corey was at this point in his career. And so I think the sky's the limit for this kid. That and the fact that he puts in the work. He's not just somebody who's just going to tell you, he's going to go out and do the work. He did the work. And I think that's shown because, we've seen starting pitchers come out and look really good. The other night we saw Lucas Giolito come out, and he was out of the game after, I think, 75, 80 pitches. And, Bieber and Plesac, they're out there, they're going 100, and they're ready to go. And it just shows you that the staff put in the work while they were shut down. They weren't just sitting around waiting for the phone call. They were diligently making sure that when that phone call came and it was said, and somebody said, hey, it's time to get back to work, they showed up ready. And I think that's what's going to give this team a leg up right now.
Matt, what do you think so far of the closer situation? They've had three guys already register saves, but it hasn't necessarily been ideal because you want Brad Hand to get back to where he was, and velocity-wise, he just doesn't seem there yet.
I heard somebody talking about this the other day. I wish I could remember who it was, but they said that, this is not a year where managers can worry about people's feelings. And I think that situation might be what you see and how it plays out. I mean, look, everybody loves Brad Hand, the person. He's not somebody that needs to be the closer, is going to sit and pout if he's not the closer. But the bottom line is, when you have a short season, you can't afford to let guys work things out. And if he struggles and if he doesn't get things back on track, they've got guys with power arms that can fill in. Now, that might create another problem in terms of how you get to them, but you still need, as we always know, you build the bullpen from the back forwards. You need somebody to finish the games. If Brad can't do it, we saw Karinchak last night. We've seen Cam Hill do it. Nick Whitgren can step in there. So they have some other options. But ideally, you want to get Brad Hand back on track so that you have all those other arms setting the game up for him.
We got Matt Underwood joining us on the show. Why have the bats been quiet?
Ken, I wish I knew. I think sometimes early in seasons, regardless of the fact that this is July, not April, guys press. They want to get off to a good start because it's like one of those things that's just mentally in your head. You don't want to run the race from the back of the pack and have to catch up. So you want to get out fast. And I think just sometimes you don't get a hit in the first couple of games. All of a sudden now you start grinding your teeth and trying to figure out what do you have to do to get a hit. And I think that just collectively some of those guys are in that funk. Now, having said that, they have the benefit of, because the pitching's been so good, they know if they get a couple of runs early, then they're in pretty good shape. And that was the formula a year ago. It's holding true so far. But, they scored two runs from the sixth inning on. That's not going to fly. They're going to have to figure out a way to get some sustainable offense throughout ball games and not just score early and hope the pitching continues to shut them out every game.
Matt Underwood joining us on the show on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I feel the same way that you just said about the bats. I do feel better about Jose Ramirez. It seems to be that things are coming along with him, and that's been a little bit better. Behind the plate with the injury and what's gone on there, are you concerned about – the pitching has been great. Have you concerned about any lack of offense because Roberto's not going to be there and you have to throw a new person into that lineup?
Well, I mean, I'm going to default to the age-old answer. I want my catcher to catch, to work the staff, to slow the run game down, to do all those things. And whatever I get offensively is a bonus. They need Roberto back in there. Hopefully this is not a lingering shoulder problem. I think I heard Bieber, or one of the pitchers, say that they were pretty hopeful that he wouldn't be out beyond the 10 days. Time will tell. We'll wait and see there. But, like Chicago is pretty fortunate. They've got Grandal, who they gave a boatload of money to in the off season, but James McCann's a heck of a backup who can give you some offensive thump too. They don't have that luxury. So Sandy Leon, proven veteran. I mean, the one thing you've noticed so far is defensively and what he's done behind the plate. He's pretty good. He's pretty on par with Roberto. And so that's what you want to see consistently, game in, game out. Bo Taylor will get some opportunities as well. But they need Roberto back in there. There's no doubt.
Matt, what do you think of the expanded playoffs and what it means for this short 60-game season? Does it take anything away from it, or are you thinking as an Indians fan and somebody who covers the Indians for as long as you have that, hey, this is a great opportunity that if you just avoid injuries and avoid any terrible situations, you're going to the playoffs and you have a chance to win the World Series?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like I still think, and I guess I probably am guilty of, I haven't looked all that closely at the fine print on the playoff rules, but my thinking has always been, you want to win the division. I just think the more advantages you can give yourself, the better. So, if you can't win the division, then you start looking around at, well, how else can I get into this party and crash the thing and do some damage? But first and foremost, you want to try to win the division, get the best seed you can, give yourself those kind of opportunities. People are looking at home field advantage now without crowds and saying, is it really that much of an advantage? I still think there is an advantage to playing in your park, the last at bat, the familiarity, sleeping in your own bed. But at the end of the day, if you go through a stumble and somebody else passes you, there's another opportunity to get in. And that's a good thing. And I think it's going to be fun because it's something we don't know. There's a great unknown that if we can get through this pandemic part of it and get the players, keep everybody healthy, which remains to be seen. But it has a chance to be a pretty wild October with this many teams. And I like the idea of the best of three in the wild card format. I've always felt that was a better way to go. So there's a lot to this to like. It's just, man, until we get there, there's just so much we don't know about it.
Matt, what has it been like from your preparation to getting in the ballpark to just covering a game with no fans and having the piped-in music? What does it all feel like as an announcer? And do you think you'll get used to it?
Yeah, first of all, I got to tell you, I mean, I feel really fortunate to be back. And not that I ever took it for granted, but, boy, I really appreciate how much I missed it because, sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting, but finally getting back and being in the booth with Arch and Andre and our crew, it's been a lot of fun, and I really missed that. And then the second part of the question, it was different. The first couple of games was just weird. It was just odd. No fans. It was brutally quiet. The crowd noise, to be honest with you, at least at the home games, I could barely hear it. With the headsets on, I know it's in there. I watched the game last night on television. I don't know how much different that production was than ours. It was almost annoying last night when I watched it, to the point of where they were like forcing the crowd noise. But I can barely hear it when I was doing the games. I think after about two or three games, I really felt that as the more I locked in on the game itself, I really didn't notice as much the lack of crowd. I think where it rears its head is like the last game against Chicago, where they're trying to make the comeback. They're down four, and now you get the bases loaded. Now you've got an opportunity. But that's when a crowd can really rise up and start to maybe change the atmosphere, and that is absent. That is noticeably absent. But the more I just start to focus in on the game and watch the pitch-to-pitch action, the less you sort of notice how bizarre the current state is.
I didn't like the virtual fans last night, Matt. Like,
you can keep that. Save it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's weird because you take the wide shot and you say, because I actually saw people tweeting, how come they're letting fans into the Twins? And it's like, oh, geez, now you get people mad because they think there are people in there. But so you take that wide shot, and it looks like, hey, it looks like there's a lot of people there. Then they take the side angle, and you can clearly see there's nobody there. So I don't know who they're trying to fool or trick.
Well, I think it looked like they might have been experimenting while they were doing it, because there was one where Max Kepler ended the inning and he was running in, and then his head got cut off. Yeah. what are we doing over here, folks? I go, hey, I'm not a TV guy, so I can't really be a huge.
Whip. That's a work in progress.
Yeah, let's see, that works out well. Matt Underwood joining us on the show. Lima, are you going to tell Matt what your prediction was for the Indians, or are you going to be sheepish about this? What are you doing over there?
I made it abundantly clear. 40 wins are going to the playoffs, and I said after the third game, this is a World Series team. It had the makings, and people are starting to try to poke holes or saying, well, it's not a perfect team. And I'm going, who's perfect?
Yeah.
Look around the bigs right now. Ooh. Who's got a perfect baseball team that has every facet working? And then can you guarantee me that not only will those facets be working towards the end of the year, that they're all going to avoid the COVID crisis, all of those things? I think they got as good a shot as anybody.
Yeah, and Anthony, we think about Tito. Tito said that the team that is able to manage the crisis the best might be the team that ends up standing at the end of the season, because that was sort of the thing that a lot of us overlooked. We're looking at, okay, how they're back to plan. We're looking at, you know, who's pitching, you know, what's the defense, what's the bullpen. And Tito kept saying, look, you got to manage what's going on right now. You got to keep people smart, diligent. You got to keep them from going out and making bad decisions, and that could be a real difference maker. And unfortunately, that is a part of our way of life right now. And I just think that this team is built for the postseason, the way it's currently constructed. But then again, in 2016, going in, remember, Hoynsey, our buddy, said, it's over, stick a fork in them, they have no chance. And they end up in Game 7 of the World Series with, you know, two starting pitchers and an unbelievable bullpen. So you can get there a lot of different ways, but I do like the makeup. I think the offense will come around. It'll find its level of consistency at some point. And I think if the bullpen rolls get straightened out, then it's pretty close to a complete package.
Matt, we can't thank you enough for the time. Of course, pregame starts on STO tonight, 7:30. Alan Jensen, then Matt and Rick Manning. They got the call at 8. I can find it on STO, thank God, because I was an old man and I couldn't find it. I looked for 45 minutes last night, Matt. I didn't realize it was on regular Fox, so I'm glad to be watching tonight on STO. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Ken. Tonight will be unique for us. This will be our first remote telecast any of us have ever done. We're out of the studio. It's going to be fun. Bear with us. There might be some bumps in the road, but we're looking forward to it.
Will you be wearing pants?
I will wear pants, absolutely.
Why? Why would you do that? Just tell
Only
them.
Because I'm not sure if they're going to shoot us head to toe.
That's, I mean, come on. You've been there long enough. You call the shots.
Why would you ask that question? Matt, thank you, my friend.
You got it, guys. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. The great Matt Underwood joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.